Believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we could open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 1 for our text. What shall we then say that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that it might be the father of them all that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed also unto them. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize that the promise was given to Abraham before he did one thing. We know the circumcision was a result of his responding to the promise, and yet the circumcision itself had nothing to do with the promise. And so, Lord, neither do our works have anything to do with your promise. And yet, that would not take the works from us, because the works we do, as your prophet said, because we love you. And there's no way that we want to disappoint you. So, Father, help us, Lord, to walk in grace and yet to have the works follow as a joy and as a love offering back to thee. We come at this time of the year, Father, the Christmas season, knowing that you so loved us and you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but would receive eternal life. Help us, Father, to walk in the light as you are here in that light. For we know that the pillar of fire is here to lead us into the millennium. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to always be mindful of thee. And help us, Lord, in our conversation to talk to thee and to listen, especially to what you would have us to know. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now notice what Paul is saying here, that Abraham received his promise from God before he ever was circumcised. So in fact, the circumcision was just what Abraham did in respect to the promise, but had nothing to do with his receiving of that promise. The promise was unconditional, a promise from God without conditions, because love does not place conditions on love. And God, who is love, did not place conditions of his promise to Abraham and to his seed after him. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It did not come through the law, and in fact the law had nothing to do with the promise that God made. But it came through the righteousness, the right wiseness of faith. And we know that faith is revelation, something that's been revealed to us. This promise was revealed to Abraham. For if they which are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Notice he tells us that if it were not by promise, but if it were by the law, and what we do or do not do, then it would not be a sure thing. I am so thankful this morning that my salvation does not depend on my actions. It does not depend on the physical things that I'm able to do or not able to do. But being that God promised it unconditionally, it is a sure thing, for God cannot lie. You know, one of the things that amazes me is the foolishness of preaching, as Paul called it. Because God can take just men, ordinary men, who have their own troubles in the flesh, who have their own idiosyncrasies. We all have them. We all have our own little character flaws, if you want to call it that way. And yet God can do great things. You know, I think of the sowing that goes on around the world through men who are just, like Brother Branham said, you preachers, he said, you ought to understand one thing. You're no better than the guy who was saved, the drunk who was saved an hour ago. And if we can always keep that in mind, that we are no better than the drunk, in God's eyes, than the drunk that was saved an hour ago, then we might walk with a humble spirit. We might walk and have an open arms to all men. As Brother Branham said, it would make the Holy Ghost would make the man in a tuxedo put his arms around the man in overalls. And that's what God, his spirit, did when he came down. Birthed his son over a manure pile in a lowly manger filled with animals. And yet it was good enough for his son. Now notice he tells us, if it were not by promise, but if it were by the law, and what we do or do not do, then it would not be a sure thing. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Brother Bram said, we backslide 1,000 times daily. Now, I'm not up here to confess backsliding. I'm not saying that I'm in backsliding condition this morning or even yesterday or the day before. But what I'm saying is that we do. Because your backsliding days as you get older and older as a Christian may not be the things that troubled you as a young Christian. But your backsliding is in your mind, in your heart. Where is my feeling toward God, toward his children? You see, it gets into the sublime. It gets into the very intricate veins of who you are. And if it was up to us to be perfect, well, I tell you what, I think we're all lost. But thank God we have a promise. Amen. It's not by what we are, it's by what he is. And the fact that he has revealed it to us, that's what faith is. It's by faith that it might be by grace. Amen. You see, and faith is revelation. You got a revelation down in your heart, Adam? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about Adam in the flesh. It's not about Sarah in the flesh, Nick in the flesh. It's about, what is my desire in here? What am I longing for in here? We all long to have 100% victory. Where we could just be like Jesus in every facet of our life. Let me tell you something. One day you will be. Because if there's a deep calling, there is a deep to respond. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Yeah, look in the mirror. Look in the physical mirror. Do you see that perfect example fitting the pattern of Jesus Christ? Do you? I don't think you do. Who called those things that were not as though they were. When you can look into the mirror, and not with pride, but with humbleness of heart, say, I am a son of the living God. His word flows through my veins. His life ebbs with every heartbeat that I have. And you should be able to do that if you understand grace. I want you to notice that God told him that he would be the father of many nations. And the Jews are only one nation. That's not who God was talking about. And the Arabs, although they be several countries, they are but one nation. And two is not many. But God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. From Jehovah Jireh, part one, Brother Branham said, now we are Abraham's seed if we are in Christ. And then if you are Abraham's seed, you have the same faith that Abraham had, because it was faith, his faith that we're talking about. Especially in the church now. It's the royal seed of Abraham. There was two seeds of Abraham. One of them was the natural Isaac. The other one was Christ. The promise. Now I'd like to add this. I'd like to add that this is exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. He said, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And from Jehovah Jireh part 1, Brother Branham said, through Isaac, Israel was blessed. Through Christ, he became the father of nations. See? So the royal seed, how much greater that would be than the natural seed of Abraham. So if you are in Christ, you have a super seed, a super to what Abraham was, because you come by the royal seed, Christ. If you are dead in Christ, then are ye Abraham's children, and you have Abraham's seed and Abraham's faith, and Abraham's faith was in God's word regardless of what took place. He called those things which were not as though they were, because he said so, because God said so. What a promise. And then God tells us how that he was to become the father of many nations in verse 18. He says, who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So it was not by the physical sexual act that he was to be father of many nations, but by the spoken word of promise. Notice Paul said, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You understand? Spoken word. According to the spoken word, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now did. Can you look in the mirror this morning and say, I don't consider my own body? Abraham did. He didn't consider his own body being dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of his wife's womb, Sarah's. Then if he did not consider the deadness of his own body, nor his wife's, Sarah's dead body, or her dead womb, then he was not considering the physical act, but the act of faith in which he received the spoken word promise, and it produced a seed in his flesh. And that is the way that each of the seed of Abraham will have to receive the spoken word of God into their own flesh. And in their own flesh, it will bring the same life into manifestation and the same faith, the same revelation. Now, I want you to notice carefully that he did not say, so shall thy seeds be. But God says, so shall thy seed, singular, only one seed, so shall thy seed be. There's only one original royal seed of Abraham. But like all apple trees that grow today, they all came off of one little apple tree to begin with. Science has proven that. And so the nations, plural, that were to come from the loins of Abraham were not from his physical loins, but from the loins of his mind, the faith seed that he planted. Brother Branham said from his sermon, the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. He said, here, this seed, one seed, not seeds, but one seed. These others were not seed of Abraham, because Abraham's seed was his faith seed that God was speaking of, not his natural seed. Because after Sarah died, Abraham married another woman and had seven sons besides daughters. So it wouldn't be Abraham's seeds, it was Abraham's seed, one. And that was Abraham's faith seed, pointing to the royal seed that was to come through Abraham's faith. Not Abraham's natural life, but Abraham's spiritual life, who took everything contrary to God's word and called it as though it was not, and believed God, and against hope, believed in hope. That's the real seed that we're speaking of. You see, he wasn't talking about Isaac. Isaac died. His body went to the ashes, went back to the dust. He was talking about Christ. From Abraham and a seed after him, Brother Bram said, now, I know Isaac was the seed of Abraham potentially. It was the natural seed of Abraham, but not the real seed of Abraham. The real seed of Abraham was Christ, the royal seed. Isaac was only a substitutionary until Christ came, which was the seed of Abraham. Now and then the real seed of Abraham believes the promises just like Abraham did, because it's to Abraham and his seed after him. Now watch what God did to the royal seed to make the covenant confirmed. He took Christ, which was the seed of Abraham, on Calvary. He tore him apart. He took the spirit off of him and put his body in the grave in a cell in hell, and raised him up on the third day, and raised his body up and brought it up unto glory, and there set the spirit. And then he sent the spirit back down and kept the body on his right hand side. He sent the Spirit back down to live in the church, to make a church just so much with the life of Christ that in the resurrection the two will come together, bride and bridegroom. The church in Christ will be exactly alike, with the same kind of ministry, same kind of power, same kind of spirit. He raised up the body of Jesus, set his right, at his right hand, his right side, his right hand, and poured down the Spirit upon the church on the day of Pentecost. That's how God proved his covenant with his church. You see, it's no coincidence that you can have the same desires as Christ, because you do have his Spirit. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. God had placed the fullness of his own Spirit within his Son Jesus without measure. And at Calvary, he ripped open the flesh, and out came that Spirit to come back on the day of Pentecost, and through the washing of water by his word, into the souls of every royal seed of Abraham. We are spirit of his Spirit. You understand? The very life that hung there at Calvary is in you. The very life that walked the shores of Galilee is in you. I love what Brother Branham is saying here. Makes you feel like a son, doesn't it? From Abraham and his seed, Brother Branham says, so now it's by his grace that God called you, not what you did, or what you could do, or what you will do. If you're the seed of Abraham, God spoke to you by his amazing grace, just like he did Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. And then notice, as soon as Abraham believed God by justification, believing on the Lord, we're justified. Immediately, God called Abraham to totally separate himself from unbelief. That's the way he done you. Separate yourself from your kindred, from all your associates. Come out of the pool room. Come out of the dance hall. Come away from the things of the world. God calls for a total separation to Abraham's seed, because that's what he called Abraham. Are you patterning it? This instrument is Abraham. This instrument represents this seed after him. And the covenant was made to both Abraham and his seed after him. And as Abraham was called by grace, by election, so was his seed called by grace and election. See? They heard the voice of God and believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Then it's imputed unto you the same way. In Romans 4:20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice that we are told that he staggered not at the promise of God. It was not his body that he trusted in, nor what act that he could perform to bring about children that he so desired. But it was the promise of God that he held on to, regardless of the condition of his own flesh. So I ask you this morning, you don't have to answer, what is the condition of your flesh? Get your eyes off of it. Hold on to the promise. Are you called by God? Did you hear the eagle cry in this hour? Are you pulled to the Word of God? Has He revealed Himself, His plan to you in this hour? Then your royal seed. Hold on to that. Don't look in the mirror of your flesh. Look into the mirror of this Word, and you will see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but yet not I that lives, but Christ is living in me. And the life I now live but in the flesh, I live by the faith of what He did, the faith of the Son of God. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform. What He had promised, He, God, was able to perform. Didn't Jesus come to the same place where God said, Son, I want you to go to the cross? He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. For I know that I could stand here and be crucified. This temple could be torn down, and in 3 days, He'll raise it up. Not what He could perform. But he was persuaded that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. And that is the hope of every royal seed of Abraham. We are confident, like Paul said in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Has God begun the work in you? Then he will perform it. Just let go. And let God. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him. So who is this him that Paul's speaking of here? Well, he's the one that raised up Jesus from the dead, he says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we are to believe the same one Abraham believed in, and that was God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, Abraham was not just the father of the Jewish people or the Arab peoples, because two is not many. But the promise is that he would be the father of many nations. In Acts 3:25, we read, You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. How is all the kindred of the earth blessed? In thy seed. Who is that? Jesus. In thy seed. That's where the Spirit dwelt. And God opened the side, and the water and the blood flowed out. And the Spirit came back that was in thy seed. And has come back to bless each and every one of us. In John 8:39, we see Jesus telling the Jews that their natural birth, their natural lineage means nothing to God, because they did not reflect the same attributes as Abraham in believing God. He said, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Again in Luke 3:8, Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise children unto Abraham. And again in Matthew 3:9, And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise children of God unto Abraham. In fact, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 9:7. He says, Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So just because they're physically sons of the prophet, or sons of Abraham, doesn't mean that they're sons of God. Doesn't mean they're actual seed of Abraham. Abraham had many sons and daughters, yet there were only three seeds that he had to, that seemed to be in the news all the time throughout history. And even more so in this hour, he had a natural seed, Isaac, through which the Jewish race came. He had a natural son, Ishmael, in which the Arab world exists today. And then he had a third seed, which did not come by the natural seed, but by the promise of God. It was not Isaac. He died like others. It was Christ. He is the original spoken word seed and the royal seed of Abraham, and whose seed we are, and whose seed we are in, and we're in, on Calvary, by the Holy Spirit. In a sermon, Abraham's covenant confirmed, Brother Branham said, and we find that we, being dead in Christ, we are Abraham's seed and are heirs with Father Abraham to the promise. Then if we are Abraham's seed, we find out that we have to have faith of Abraham, and we are not Abraham's, or we are not Abraham's seed. And what is the seed of Abraham? It's the Holy Spirit, amen, which comes through Christ. What was released on the day of Pentecost? Or what came back on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit, which was released on Calvary. You see? That makes us, as we receive the Holy Spirit then, we are no longer Gentiles, but we are Jews. Brother Bram said, we are Jews. And the Jew by birth is not a Jew. Paul said, that which is Jew is not that outwardly, but that inwardly. Inwardly, we are Jews. But that inwardly, that has the faith of the father, Abraham. And if we are Father Abraham's seed, then we take every promise God made, no matter how ridiculous it looks like, how it could not happen, but if God said so, we believe it anyhow. Now this morning I'd like to continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, and I want you to see that Brother Branham is telling us here that if we are royal seed of Abraham, then we will come and fit the pattern just like Abraham did. So let's pick up at paragraph 107, and this will be number 134 in our series. And I want you to see how Brother Branham ties what we're speaking on concerning the original spoken word seed and what Paul tells us in the book of Romans, calling it the seed of Abraham. Now from paragraph 107, Brother Branham says, Christ couldn't help being what he was. He was the Son of God. That's it. See what I mean? Now see, if you were intended, you see the Word of God. You believe it. Because why? And then he goes on to talk about the strain or the traits in the family, and how if we follow that strain or that trait through the family, we'll see it pop up from generation to generation. It is like a certain characteristic or attribute that is dominant in a family line, and if we are in the lineage of that family, we will no doubt see that trait come forth in our lives as well. And if we are the seed of Abraham, then faith, that faith trait will be there in our lives as well as it was in his. We spoke on that last week, so I don't wish to get into that anymore this morning. But that's that trait that keeps coming up from generation to generation. Faith. Like a prophet and his son has a vision. The prophet has visions, his sons have visions. Abraham, our father, had faith to believe God, what he said. It shows that we're seed of Abraham because we have faith. We have that same family trait coming up in us, you see. Well, there's a certain trait that we find in Abraham that is in all the royal seed that we'll possess. And Hebrews 11 and 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So Abraham was obedient, showing as Jesus did, that though he were a son, yet learned the obedience to God his Father. And that is the main attribute of every son that comes to God. I'd like to continue paragraph 108. He says, all right, scripture for that preacher. Well, here it comes. All that he foreknew, he's called, and all that he has called, he justified, and all that he has justified, he has already glorified. Now, Brother Bram's quoting from Romans 8, verse 29 to 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you see, if the firstborn son had that trait, the seed, the royal seed of Abraham, then the other sons will have that trait as well. Now I'm going to continue in paragraph 108 through 112, and we'll see how Brother Branham, what he's saying about these things, and I'm just going to read up until 112, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Now in paragraph 108 he says, what's the use of preaching, Brother Branham? He said, there's a crop out there. Only thing I'm doing is saning. I'm just throwing it out there and see where it goes. If the repellents, the grease of the muck of the world, denominations throws it off, I can't help that. But if there's one out there that can absorb it, he will turn to be a son and daughter of God just as sure as the world, because it's predestinated. Get the word out. Even if you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rejections, there may be one that's a seed of God, a seed of Abraham out there. You see what I mean? That's the reason that God could work His works through Jesus. He was a predestinated son. He was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, before 100 billion, trillion, million years ago. That we said, Genesis 1 and 1, spoke of a while ago. He was right then predestinated to take His place. Amen. That's the reason the will of the Father He did. He was the Word made manifest. And every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation. And that's the ones that was predestinated. Well, what's the manifestation He had? It was the will of the Father that He did. That's what He's saying. That little group in every generation will come up in the resurrection all the way back from the beginning of the world. And the reason that they hold on to it, even Paul spoke of it in Hebrews 11th chapter, said that they wandered in sheepskins and goatskins and was destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom this world is not worthy of. Amen. Had nothing to eat and run about and dug out and persecuted and sawed asunder like Isaiah was and many of the others. Paul, speaking of them men, who said he spoke of sawed asunder, Isaiah the prophet, predestined before the world began. He should have come through the womb of Eve, but then he come through the womb of a woman. His spirit had to come here to be a witness. So Jesus was also came for a witness of the death, burial, resurrection, that men will die but live again through Him. For He's the seed that has come up. Amen. I hope you see it. All right. Predestinated as He was, makes the Word seed flesh in you. His church, God's Word. You say, sure, Brother Brown, every word, I believe it. Then don't back up when you get your tradition. See? Stay right with that word and stay with that. Watch what happens. Say, oh Lord, I believe it. Send the Holy Spirit. Then watch. Then if He goes to bearing record, then you know you got it. Not by some sensation, the devils do that. Not by some miracles, the devils do that. But by your constant belief in the Word of God and the life that you live, never deny nothing. All right? That makes the Word becoming flesh. See? Flesh and the same water, same Spirit. Now, wait a minute. I can't pass this by. See, Jesus was the seed of Abraham, fleshly speaking. Is that right? A predestinated seed of Abraham. And when the Spirit fell on him, what kind of a life did he bring? He brought a faith life. What kind of a life? You mean he was going to be a sojourner like Abraham? Well, that's where people get so mixed up today. They try to think that a man of God has to do this and follow this and do that. Oh, mercy, no. How was Christ the seed of Abraham? Not so much in his body. Because Isaac, that seed of Isaac, finally fell and died. It backslid in hybrid too. We'll get to that directly, see? But the faith seed of Abraham, that we believe God's word, regardless of what the circumstances was. There you are. Whew. You know, I feel like shouting. Look, look, the faith of seed of Abraham, what was it? Not Abraham's body, but Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith in what? The word of God. No matter what come, he called anything contrary to it as though it wasn't even there. Oh me, wouldn't that rip these denominations to pieces? It sure would. Now in closing, I'd just like to say this. In Galatians chapter 3, in reading verse 1, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You see, the scripture tells us that to obey is better than sacrifice. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath cast a spell on you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive ye by the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How many were out there of you? Were out there coming to church every day and just on your knees, you know, morning, noon, night? Just living for God in every way, and then you receive the Spirit. Then you heard the midnight call. How many of you had this message down before you came to it? Come on, you didn't have it. This only would I learn of you? Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit then? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? You see where that church spirit goes to? The people might begin by revelation. They might begin under grace. They might begin by having God come down and just give them a 4x4 and knocking them silly and opening their eyes. But where does the church organizational spirit go to? It goes back to what can we do for God? And Paul warns us, is this only what I learn of you? Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? As Brother Branham said, I can't do these things. He said, look, someone said, Brother Branham, is it possible that you could speak the word and the resurrection would be on? He said, well, that's possible. Good thought. But he said, but you see, it's not the way it works. He said, I don't do these things because I want to do them. He tells me what to do. I can only do what he shows me vision to do. Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him to do. It wasn't William Branham the man, like he was born with some great gifts and like he was born with some great powers. He had nothing. He would have been a murderer had it not been for God standing in the way and stopping those bullets from killing those three boys. He would have been a drunkard like his dad had it not been for the Holy Spirit coming down in a whirlwind and scaring the daylight out of the little boy, telling him never to drink, smoke, or do anything. He tried to light up a cigarette on several dates. The Holy Spirit blew it out. God protected him all the way down. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by his own flesh, his own power, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, but it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be by the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Not heirs because you deserve it. Heirs because he promised. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. It is so uplifting to know that You who began the work in us shall perform it. And so, Father, we know what you have promised, and we hold on to that which you promised. And Paul said, nor depth, nor height, nor principality, nor power, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's just sing that song that we sing so many times, but I love it. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him again.